Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Vertera Dinnerware. Learn more at Vertera.com. That's Vertera.com.
This week on Meetin' 3, we bring you stories about how Gen Z is different from their millennial predecessors through the lens of food.
My knowledge of alcohol didn't really come from like Bud Light commercials or like Project X.
Yeah, and that's my gripe with the platform as well, is that all these DIY videos, cooking videos, they're 20 seconds.
What's one food item from your childhood that you wish you could have today?
Dunkaroos, because they don't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Although, the Dunkaroos Twitter was activated again a year ago, so it's only a matter of time. They've tweeted a couple times, it's pretty hype.
Listen to Meetin' 3, HRN's food news and storytelling roundup, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, hello, Heritage Radio Network listeners tuning in from 165 countries around the world, about a million listens a month. And today, we hope they are all listening to Tech Bites, the weekly show where we look at the intersection of food and technology. And today we have a really exciting show because it is about opportunity for any of you startup entrepreneurs out there who are looking for some business opportunity in the innovation and mentorship and pitch world. This is going to be a show for you. Today we are recording remotely via Zencastr because we are in the midst of a global pandemic for coronavirus. It is August 14th, 2020. This is episode 214 for those of you listening in the future. And this is going to be an episode about how events are changing because of lockdown and actually going virtual, which in some instances allows for events to actually expand and allow more people to participate, which is kind of interesting. We think of things being virtual as perhaps being smaller, but in this instance, they're actually getting bigger. One event that is getting bigger, we're really happy to talk about, one of our sponsors of the show, Nyman Ranch. Nyman Ranch is a network of U.S. family farmers and ranchers who are raising livestock humanely and sustainably to deliver the finest tasting meat in the world. And for the past 21 years, they've been having a hog farmer appreciation dinner in Iowa. And this year, given, you know, travel and in-person limitations, they have taken that event virtual, which means a lot of folks, like listeners like you, will have opportunity to participate where in years past you might not have. The event itself starts on August 5th and runs through September 11th, 2020. They have converted their in-person events to a round of virtual events, including education series, something called The Future of Restaurants, which one of the panelists will be our own Katie Mosman-Waldler, and also culinary experiences like a virtual cooking class with super chef Thomas Keller. If you're interested in finding out more information and participating, go to NymanRanchHFAD.com, Nyman Ranch, and that's Hog Farmer Appreciation Day. You can find out all the information there to register. It is free of charge, and, you know, lots of things happening between August 5th and September 11th. So give it a look-see. And maybe sign up for something and learn about what's coming in the future for restaurants, sustainability on farms, and maybe learn some cooking tips from a pro like Thomas Keller. Today, the show is Food Bites Pitch Virtual 2020, and faithful listeners will have perhaps listened to episode 102 back in 2017, where we talked about Food Bites New York City, and talk to some of the winners and some of the Food Bites folks then. If you are a part of the food tech world, you have heard of this event, you have probably gone to this event, you have perhaps even applied to participate in this event. It is a global pitch event run by Rabobank out of their Food and Agriculture Innovation Group. And they have just announced two really exciting things, one being a redesign for 2020, which has taken the event from in-person to virtual and expanded it to a much, much larger global audience. And they have also announced that applications are open to participate in this year's pitch event. So we have brought on Nina Myers, who is the Startup Relationship Manager of Food Bites by Rabobank, to tell us about what's happening. And then, you know, oftentimes people don't really understand necessarily what's happening under the hood at a pitch event and what does it really mean to be a startup company that's participating and walking through these things. So we brought on a winner from San Francisco 2019, Shannon Flanagan, who is the U.S. Chief Toaster of a very interesting and fun startup called Toast Ale. So ladies, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So Nina, give us a little snapshot of Food Bites and what the event has started in and expanded to, because the new event, the new virtual event, is actually quite exciting. And I think a lot of times people think that when we go to virtual, it maybe is not as robust, but in this instance, it really seems like it's getting bigger and better.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer, and happy to be here. I think maybe I'll take a micro step back just for listeners who maybe aren't familiar at all and just give a quick what is Food Bites more broadly within Rabobank, what is this whole platform and thing that we've built, and then I'm happy to talk about this exciting shift that we're embarking on. So just, yeah, for those who have no familiarity, Food Bites is Rabobank's food and agriculture innovation platform. Rabobank is one of the leading food and agriculture banks globally. And Food Bites really exists for one reason, which is to build an engine of collaboration between innovation players in food and agriculture, and really those that are looking to feed the world more sustainably. That's a foundational mission to the bank as a whole. So Food Bites brings together startups, food and ag companies, corporates, and investors. And we have two programs that we do that through. We have Food Bites Pitch and Food Bites Pilot. And Food Bites Pitch, which Jennifer, you were just speaking about so eloquently in the intro, that's our discovery platform, which is designed to propel startups who are building that sustainable future like we just talked about. We know it's more important now than ever. It's really designed to propel them and bring them connections to food and ag corporates and investors. And we now have applications open for our first virtual edition through August 10th, which I will talk about a little bit more in a moment. So we're really live in the market with Food Bites Pitch right now. And then really what, Jennifer, you spoke about this, but it's all about, you know, making connections to investors, having one-on-one mentorship sessions with our growing roster of corporate and investor members. We have 15 on board right now. I can speak about that a little bit more in a moment. And then it's really about this ongoing participation in a thriving alumni community through peer-to-peer connections, through continued mentor connections and member connections and corporate connections. It's not just kind of like one and done events. It's really about building this continuous touch point and like continuous value for startups, which hopefully Shannon will speak a bit more too. And then the last thing I would say is Food Bites Pilot is our other sort of unique program under this umbrella. And it's a corporate-driven innovation program that's really about matchmaking startups to corporates to solve a particular challenge within their supply chain. So for corporates, it's a low-risk way for them to test sort of some of their innovation challenge areas and look to build solutions. And for startups, it's a way to scale their businesses and have a, you know, build a relationship with a leading corporate, It's a great mechanism for due diligence. It's really a way to build relationships with future and continued partners and customers. So that's like in a nutshell the Food Bites pitch and pilot. And I think really what I would say is, if you think like, why is a bank doing this? There's a sort of maybe a bit of a disconnect there. We really look at it as a way to kind of future-proof our, you know, existing corporate relationships. We know that, you know, these companies are going to need to evolve to survive. And we know that consumers in particular are driving a shift toward better, cleaner, more sustainable, healthier food. And so we believe that the startups pioneering at the cutting edge of food and agriculture are the ones who are nimbly, you know, existing at that bleeding edge of innovation, if you want to call it that. So we want to build relationships with those companies. We want to make the connections to our corporates that have the scale, resources, et cetera, to really affect change on a broad level. So it's about future-proofing our relationships and staying relevant and being that connector, and then building those relationships with the companies that we really believe are going to build a more sustainable food system for the future. So I have talked a lot in my intro, and unshocking to Jennifer probably and Shannon, but I wanted to just give a little bit of background of what we're doing here. And if you maybe, Jennifer, do you want me to still talk a little bit more about what we're doing with virtual, or wait a second?
What I think I would love to unpack from that overview of the programs and Rabobank are a couple different things. One is Rabobank is maybe not as well known in the United States because it's a European bank and they are less a consumer, you know, open a savings account, use an ATM card type of bank. Mm-hmm. The focus of Rabobank is really around food and agriculture and innovation. So maybe talk a little bit about just foundationally why Rabobank is interested in this sector, because it's a little bit of a unique situation for a bank relative to what we're used to hearing about and seeing in the United States when we think of banks like, you know, open a savings account, get a checking account.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the long story short is Rabobank is a cooperative bank. We were founded by farmers in the Netherlands. We have 100 plus years of experience banking farmers and banking players throughout the food and ag, you know, supply chain and value chain. And so it's in our DNA. It's inherent to what we do. We have 95 analysts who are looking at all of the sectors within food and agriculture globally and, you know, providing those insights to the clients that we work with, whether those are farmers, whether those are big food and ag corporations, and or whether those are the, you know, the startups of our future, like Shannon from Toast Ale here. She can speak a bit more to her experience engaging with our beverage analysts. But it is absolutely foundational to Rabobank, and sort of our mission at the highest level is to, we call it growing a better world together. But what it actually means is finding ways to feed the world more sustainably, particularly by the goal of the year 2050. So it's all we do. And so, you know, yeah, in the Netherlands, you, anywhere you go on a street corner, you're going to see a Rabobank ATM. And here we're a little bit lesser known, but I think through Food Bites, we've sort of built that foothold in the startup community and sort of that understanding that what we're bringing to the table in terms of our relationships with, you know, leading food and ag corporates and investors is unique because we already have those relationships and we're sort of bringing them to bear for startups.
So which makes perfect sense then why Rabobank is interested in cultivating and furthering the startup communities that are looking to solve some of these issues. One of the things that you said, which I think is a good point in of discussion, is you talked about the Food Bites pitch companies being alumni. And that's something that we talked about when we were all speaking just before the show, in that Food Bites is almost like going to a really great university where you go through a program, you study, you have a pitch, which is almost like defending a dissertation, and you meet not only colleagues who are other startups, but you have mentors and business people. But then once the event and the competition has ended, those relationships don't end. They continue along, which is another, I think, important piece. And perhaps I would love to hear from Shannon what the thought process was when Toast Ale was deciding to throw their hat into the competition to be one of the applicants, and then, you know, what their motivation was specifically, and then how that played out in terms of the experience, and then now that you're out of an alumni of Food Bites, how's that playing out as well?
Sure. So thanks, Jennifer. So we at Toast Ale were, we had heard of Food Bites, of course, and really we were kind of new to the whole like pitch world. So we were planning to scale. We had a lot of interest, a lot of demand out of California, but we are a New York-based company. So that was a little bit interesting as well, pitching in San Francisco with, you know, a heavy tech presence and some really, you know, phenomenal VCs there right away to talk to us, which was a bit intimidating. But yeah, so we, you know, kind of showed up. And again, it is a little intimidating. A lot of the other companies and brands that were pitching were, you know, these incredible food scientists, you know, out of Cornell and et cetera. And we, I guess, could I give a little background on Toast Ale just for the listeners
who
may not be familiar?
Please do. Okay.
So we are Toast Ale. We brew award-winning craft beer with Yesterday's Unsold Bread. We are a certified B Corp, so we donate our profit to charity fighting food waste. We started in the UK, and we've been operating in New York for just over 3 years. Fun fact, I do think the very first toast ever sampled in America was here on Heritage Radio. I think it was with Jimmy Carboni.
That sounds about right. Beer Sessions Radio.
So, which was wonderful. So, anyway, yeah, so we, you know, we're a pretty low-tech company, really. You know, we're brewing with bread. And so it was a bit intimidating, but it just goes to show that, you know, there's space for everyone, you know, low and high-tech within the platform. And the mentors were phenomenal. As Nina mentioned, the beverage analysts at Rabobank are just like this unbelievable wealth of knowledge. We still reach out to them regularly. Even just like, I'll read an article that has nothing to do with our brand, and I'm like, God, I would love to know, you know, what Picard thinks about this. So they have been phenomenal. Yeah, the whole process was just, you know, it's very exciting. The pitch is like, Nina, how long do we get? I think it's like three and a half minutes.
Sort of arbitrary and very much like, as we've heard from other startups, so short, you know, compared to when they go to other pitch competitions and they're like, I had 12 minutes. Like, well, distill it down. Economy of words.
Exactly.
And also, Shannon, it's worth saying that Rob is, for those listening, Rob's pitch, who is one of the founders of Toast, CEO, his pitch is one of the sort of preeminent pitches we've ever seen on the Food Bites stage for its success and mastery of that word economy and really making the upcycling mission clear and the sort of climate change or climate change reduction mission clear. So just to say, I think, Shannon, maybe you're being modest about how you guys fit in, and you really were a beacon for all the other startups. They were blown away by your pitch ultimately. So I feel like I should weave that in here, Jennifer and Shannon.
Well, thank you.
Well, the thing about Toast Ale is it's not the technology per se that makes it so innovative. It's the upcycling of food waste that would have otherwise been food waste. It's converting into something that everyone loves. It's the B Corp, the giving back. It's creating, you know, the process of the economic chain and the food cycle chain, making it more effective, efficient, and, you know, sustainable across the board. So it's not, Nina, talk to us a little bit about the different types of companies who you're looking to have apply and that have applied, because it's not, oftentimes I think people misconstrue food tech as being something super space age and a Jetson's kitchen, when sometimes it's just you know, as simple as, although brilliant, of looking at an existing process or supply chain and finding a new way to have it function more effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's a great point. And we say this a lot, and I feel like members of the team have said it in other forums too. Yeah, we're not looking for Jetsons food. We're looking for innovation that actually solves an existing problem or challenge in the food system. One that can create, you know, not only potentially cost savings, but, you know, solutions that are going to help this industry move forward more sustainably. So if you look at something, you know, if you look at something like what Shannon is doing, or companies like Renewal Mill or Regrained, you know, I think, Jennifer, we were speaking at recently, and you kind of made the point that the issues of food waste and the fissures in the food system that have come to light, you know, particularly during this pandemic, the reason why we're not sitting in Heritage Radio right now enjoying some Roberta's pizza is you know, they're really top of mind for not only folks in the industry, but for consumers. We're reading about this every day in the news. So I think you look at simple, you know, companies and not necessarily simple, but technically simple, like upcycling food waste. And that those are the types of like small scale, you know, or sort of, you know, less high tech innovations that we're really looking for across this platform. We're looking for, you know, we see that consumers are moving more and more towards like immunity and wellness focused functional foods. We're looking for those types of companies. We're looking for companies that particularly right now are creating shorter, more transparent supply chains. We know that's a challenge that's going to continue to persist. Of course, we're seeing massive amounts of startups applying in the on-farm automation set. We're also seeing a lot of our alumni of the last couple of weeks raising significant amounts of money that are focused on that on-farm automations space as well. And so we, you know, we have a whole list of sort of top food subsector trends that we're looking for. But many of the companies who've ultimately won, like Toast Ale or like Leaf, which is a company based in Australia, they're creating a relatively simple and low-tech greenhouse film, but it increases the yield potential for those indoor growing facilities. And that's something that, you know, that really speaks to being able to produce more with less inputs and being more sustainable. So I think we're looking for, I would just say we're looking for companies that high level have a diverse team and background and experience in the space. Those that are really looking to collaborate with, you know, corporates and looking for investment opportunities and really want to collaborate with peers as well, because that's what this is all about. We're looking for companies, again, like I mentioned, that are really innovative, but they're solving a problem. They're just not innovation for innovation's sake. So we're looking for that. And then also really to be at that kind of growth to validation stage. So not necessarily idea phase. If you look at a company like Shannon from Toast Ale, they had the platform of this company based in the UK, that's where they were founded, and they were looking to come to this market. And we're looking for connections here, but they had a clear value proposition that they could communicate, they had traction with the product and with the brand. So that's, I guess I'll leave it there, Jennifer, but it's not, you know, it's not food tech future crazy technologies. It's about transformative technologies for the industry. And just, you know, companies that are really clear in how they're trying to do things more sustainably and are really, really, really clear in their value proposition, particularly as it relates to the situation we are in now with the pandemic. Those are the types of startups, if you can clearly communicate that economically with few words and that resonates in your application, like you will be put to the top of the pile.
It's an interesting time for so many reasons right now, but the startup world, the innovation world, the Food Bites world has been aware of this urgency in terms of fixing the food system sustainably, supply chain. These are not new things. These have been things that have been growing in terms of urgency and dysfunction for many, many years. But what has happened in this time is that consumers and the general sort of public who are outside of those industries and interest groups are experiencing firsthand some of those issues, whereas before you know, smart retailers and different companies and things were able to, you know, fix the systems or sort of mask them so that at the end of the day, consumers were not disrupted in terms of their grocery shopping and food sourcing. So nobody kind of paid that much attention to it because it was all just a newspaper article somewhere. But now when people are confronted with, I'm going to the store, the products aren't there, where are these things, where does it come from, or being confronted with, now I'm cooking, what does this mean? Or even the, you know, kind of like charming trend of growing, everybody was regrowing green onions and scallions on their windowsills for months and months and making sourdough starters. That yeah. Home, you know, and then are they still going? I don't know. Have they gone by the wayside?
My husband made me throw away my scallion starter. Just, it was a little stinky. So everything else I've been on board with, but that trend sort of fizzled in my household, I will say.
Yeah, I'm growing an avocado plant, which yes. is doing quite nicely, but I was disappointed to find out it was going to take 10 years before it had a fruit.
My mom used to do that when I was growing up, and it did take maybe slightly less than that, but indeed many years.
So people are being confronted really firsthand of what some of these different things are and what they mean. And not only are they experiencing them, there is the thought of, you know, one more turn of the dial and it could be really, you know, an even more significant issue for, you know, really large parts of the population. So now I think the public is experiencing it. They're more concerned about it. And it's really top of mind. And to a certain extent, I think there is something that's reassuring about becoming aware of an issue or a crisis and then turning to look to see what's happening and is somebody working on it, and to see that mechanisms are already in place and wheels are already in motion, that people are looking at these things and working on them, and they just need to maybe, you know, crank up the machine and keep going. We are going to take a little bit of a break and find out who the amazing company is who is helping us keep going. Did you know that Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit? We keep the lights on and the mics hot out of the generosity of our members, which are many of them listeners like you, grants, and underwriters like this one. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Vertera. Impressively versatile, stylishly sustainable, environmentally disposable dinnerware from fallen leaves. Vertera is a mission-driven company focused on making environmentally responsible, single-use products. Founded in 2006 on the belief that every culinary creation deserves a beautiful, sustainably crafted foundation, Vertera reclaims earthly discards like fallen leaves and tree scraps to design elegant, disposable dinnerware that elevates the look of food presentation. In short, a beautiful disposable plate that can go with your food to a composting facility. The team from Vertera recently made a huge pivot with their factories and started producing masks, gloves, sanitizer, and other PPE that food businesses need to safely reopen. Learn more at Vertera.com. That's Vertera.com.
Well, if you're just joining us and you're wondering what the hell you clicked on, this is Tech Bites, the weekly show on the Heritage Radio Network, where we look at the intersection of food and technology. And today, we are talking about Food Bites, Pitch Virtual 2020. Food Bites is the pitch competition hosted by Rabobank. They are now taking applications through August 10th for this year's event. If you are interested in information about years past, this one, applying, finding out just what's happening in the world of food innovation, visit foodbitesworld.com. That's FOODBYTES, world.com. Applications to Pitch 2020 are open now. The deadline is August 10th, 2020. If you want to follow them on social media, you can find them at Foodbites by Rabobank. We are being joined by Nina Myers, who is the Startup Relationship Manager at Food Bites by Rabobank. And also with us is Shannon Flanagan, whose company Toast Ale was one of the 2019 winners in San Francisco. Her company is a really interesting and ultimately fun company that makes ale using upcycled bread waste. That's a win-win right there. You can follow them at toastale.com or on social media at toastale. So we were just talking about consumers and the general public really experiencing some of the issues in the food supply chain and sort of experiencing food waste upcycling for themselves during this time of pandemic. Food Bites pitch previously was a multi-city in-person event. They are now moving to a global virtual event. Nina, tell us a little bit about the transformation of what's happening in Pitch 2020.
Yeah, of course. I think kind of first and foremost what we're... I think first and foremost what we're really, really excited about is that with virtual, we are increasing the number of startups that will be coming into the platform to 45, up from our historic 15. And what it's completely global because it's virtual. So we're excited about the increased access. Startups no longer have to, you know, make the time to travel to participate. It's truly global. Rabobank is global. Our network of you know, corporates and investors are global. So we're really looking to galvanize interest from the most innovative companies working across the globe in, you know, all places. And then what's also exciting is, you know, the content is more digestible. I think Shannon spoke to something kind of interesting in the intro, which was they were intimidated about the pitch process and coming into this, you know, in-person event, like high production value, et cetera. But, you know, it's a little daunting, but it's also very exciting that we're going to be having sort of a multi-week virtual program where startups, you know, they don't have to come and participate for 12 hours a day and feel like, you know, this all happened in a flash. There's going to be a couple of hours a day. They can still work on, you know, the survival mode of their business and everything that they need to be doing, particularly during this pandemic. But there will just be a couple of hours a day where there's sort of that intense engagement. So we're excited about that. And then, you know, that there's like more time for those relationships and that discovery to solidify because you don't have to cram it all in to a few days. So we're really excited about those changes. I think the redesign of a virtual was sort of in the works before the pandemic. We were really looking to cast a wider net, meet more startups. We were already going to this kind of like one big Food Bites pitch per year per region. So we've been planning for this. We just pivoted our plans a little bit, and so I think the switch to 45 is really exciting. We'll be, you know, we're expecting hundreds of applications to come in by August 10th, and really whittle that down to 45 across CPG, food tech, and ag tech. And we're still right now we're in the process of finalizing and working to sort out all the programming. But I think with our 15 corporate members, the likes of Alba and Barilla's Venture Fund, Blue 1877, and Tate and Lyle and ADM, these are, you know, members from their innovation teams, from their, you know, C-suite executives will be the ones kind of participating in these mentor sessions, and they'll really be tailored to the startups that we ultimately select. So getting that sort of those insights on how to improve your business, those kind of connections that you wouldn't get elsewhere, we're really excited to be able to scale those connection points virtually. And then I think last thing I would say, Jennifer, is as many of you, if you are familiar with or now from listening to this show, you know, ultimately we started with a pitch competition event, a public pitch competition. That's what Food Bites was and has been for 5 years, and we're still going to keep that element. There's going to be a, you know, a week or so of like really private mentorship and connection points, investor one-on-ones with 40 to 50 investors in our network. But then ultimately we're going to whittle down with our judging panel from 45 companies to 15. And those 15 are going to do a live public pitch in early December as part of Rabobank's virtual annual summit for all the C-suite executives from our corporate clients. So that is kind of the going to be the culmination of this like public pitch day. And so we're going to keep that element, but we're also going to have all this other, you know, sort of content mentorship and connection points happening behind the scenes in October and leading to December. As you can imagine, there's going to also be a lot of media, social media exposure. Shannon could probably talk about that. But we have a wonderful PR team and social media gurus who really help to amplify all the startups we select across those channels.
Well, some of the so many of the things that you have said that are specific to the evolution of Food Bites, interestingly, are things that have been echoed by other guests on this show, and similarly, even by myself talking about Food Bites. You know, we have spoken since episode 200. We're episode 214 today. We have been talking with companies across the spectrum about how they have been pivoting and reformatting their businesses to reach a broader audience, and in some instances, just really purely for survival right now. And one of the things that has been, there are a couple points that you mentioned, which many, many companies, whether it be a fast casual restaurant pivoting to grocery boxes or a online platform for farmers that is now pivoting into consumers. I would be curious also to hear from Shannon if she finds this to be the case. The people are ready, prior to the pandemic, we're sort of used to living a digital life, being online, transacting some things online. We have companies that were already starting to be online, being a little omni-channel, and you know, having a roadmap of maybe 1 to 2 to 3 years of expanding their consumer base. And the past few months of the pandemic have really just accelerated a lot of those timelines and those plans. So companies are saying, we were going to transition to the public and we were going to transition to online, and we've seen, you know, a year's worth of growth in a short month, 2 months, 3 months. We have seen, you know, like this show, you know, prior we would have all been in Roberta's, true, but we were also limited to people who were going to be in Roberta's because I always liked having the face-to-face conversations. Now everyone has been remote and on the phone, and that has really allowed us to open it up to a global base of guests. So there are so many things that are accelerating and expanding and allowing more people to participate in things, which is kind of almost counterintuitive, I think, when we think about the isolation of, you know, the definition of what lockdown is. Shannon, do you find that the consumer attention and time they have now to spend to get to learn about companies and things like that, along with people being at home and consuming consumables at a higher pace than they've had before, have you seen things that have been new, or have you seen your business just grow exponentially along the path that you've initially set up?
No, absolutely. I mean, we were not immune to, you know, a pretty massive pivot in response to the pandemic. For us, I guess a positive, absolutely, people have more time and are definitely reevaluating, you know, some of their priorities and values. So they have more time to really spend with a story like ours. And we, you know, we had to quickly pivot. In New York, we sell about 80% of our inventory on premise. And so we quickly pivoted to a focus on e-com platforms that, you know, really, I'll be honest, were not a priority for us previously. And those relationships have been phenomenal. And to be able to get, you know, to still, for us, of course, avoiding waste is the core of our business. And so to be able to say we didn't have to dump any beer in this process was huge, because it was just such a massive shift. So for us, relying on e-commerce has been a real godsend, as well as just like, we're pivoting since we won Food Bites in San Francisco, which kind of feels like a million years ago. It was only a year and a half ago. we have pivoted. So we're moving to a collaboration model. We are used to partnerships, be it bakeries, breweries, charities all over the world. You know, the word companion literally means to share bread with another. So that has always been core to our business. But here in the U.S., we are moving exclusively to a collaboration model that we think will be the most commercially sustainable way for us to accelerate our impact. So, and really a big part of that decision-making came from the mentorship out of the Food Bites program. You know, I think everyone believes in their brand and is so excited. And, you know, we want it to scale nationally. And a lot of the mentors said, you know, that's great. It's wonderful. There's demand all over the country for your product. But end of the day, of course, we're a sustainable product and we're a perishable product. So really having to, you know, have those tough conversations and decide, okay, actually, if we do these collaborations, we're not shipping product across the country. And we're brewing, you know, with a tight forecast, knowing exactly well how that product's going to get utilized and with specific supply opportunities. So, yeah, so our first collaboration is actually down the street from Heritage Radio in Bushwick with Innerborough. So we are brewing a rye stout with them that will we're looking forward to releasing for the UN's International Food Waste Awareness Day, September 29th. So that we will be using Bread Alone's manufacturing overage of their Nordic organic rye. For those in New York who are not baking their own bread this pandemic, a lot have been really reliant on Bread Alone, and they've been a wonderful partner. And they are incredibly sustainable. They've been organic since well before most people even knew what that meant. But they too, you know, still have manufacturing overage. They still have, you know, waste that exists. So we'll be utilizing that. And then, yeah, that will mostly be an e-commerce opportunity as well, where, you know, we don't know yet that any of that product would be able to get into a bar or restaurant. So it's going to mostly go directly to consumers.
It'll be interesting to see going forward in the story that you just recounted about what Toast Ale is doing. It reminds me of that often mentioned adage of, you know, think global, act local. And it sounds like your international business will be growing nationally on a very local level in terms of partnerships and distributions that are smaller. And maybe that is, you know, a model that's coming where, you know, you have companies that are looking to work across a large geographical space, but then are working very locally in a smaller geographical space for a variety of reasons. It's really an interesting time. And it's interesting that, well, it's not interesting. It's the whole point that the mentorship has provided a really useful point of view for you now going forward. I would think that having a global point of view and people around the world to discuss these things with is more important than ever in some respects, even if it is the idea of taking your business back to being extremely local.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you say, just off, you know, just your off the cuff reaction, what was the most valuable, most amazing piece of the Food Bites experience? Ongoing, during the pitch, now, looking back, that you have some road behind you. What's the one thing that stands out as being really the most invaluable?
Honestly, it was the peer relationships with the other brands that we're pitching, particularly the CPG brands that, you know, we're all in this together and really, you know, having that network, that alumni network, as you say, that's just been, you know, really exciting because, you know, you're in a startup world, a lot of times you're kind of in a bubble and working crazy hours or you know, pivoting or solving, you know, problems that you feel kind of, you can feel a bit isolated. And so it's been really wonderful to have that sense of community and really lean on each other. So, yeah.
And I think like Shannon and Toast really exhibit the type of company that that we're really looking for to come into Food Bites in general, whether it's at the, you know, the pitch phase, or moving on to, you know, pilot and creating that further collaboration. I think, you know, the idea that they're moving to a collaboration model and yes, working with some smaller scale craft breweries right now, but, you know, maybe down the line, it's a little bit of larger players that, you know, as we see consumers pushing more and more towards, you know, climate friendly products, waste reduction products, you know, that maybe some of the mid-sized craft breweries, who we know are fighting lots of a new competition in the beverage space. You know, maybe they're looking to collaborate with a product that resonates with consumers like Toast Ale does, and that, you know, Shannon and the team there, that could be a point or on their roadmap and journey, that there's opportunity for larger collaboration with Rabobank clients. And so, you know, we just keep the relationship going. I actually talked to Shannon, I don't know, maybe once a month or so, but we're hoping too that Toast Ale can make its way into some sort of a Food Bites pitch virtual gift box of some kind. Lots of logistics that are going to come into play there, but you know, we really always want to highlight the products and growth of the alumni, the 305 plus companies in our alumni network that have, you know, gone on to raise $800 million and had some, you know, some exits, and of course, you know, some challenges and companies that have unfortunately, you know, fallen by the wayside or gone under, particularly with the pandemic. But, you know, we're looking to those companies that are still growing and that we've been able to support to continue to showcase what they're doing to our broader network. So hopefully Toast will be in that weird gift box that we're going to sort out at some point soon. That's the goal, I would say.
I'm imagining Toast Ale with bread and toast in a box. Toast on toast on toast.
Yes. Yes. And I just learned the origin of Companion, which is incredible, Shannon. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, so it's a French origin word then? Pain? Compagnon? Yeah. Interesting. It also makes me think about a guest that we had on the show when we talked about old technology sometimes is the best technology. We had Apollonia Poilin on from Poilin, the famed Poilin bakery in Paris. And it was interesting. They have, of course, very old methodology and technology in terms of making the bread, and had gone through some different cycles of trying to use current technology, digital scales and different things like that. And ultimately the product was not as good, and they went back to manually weighing things and old-fashioned scales and things like that. So it's really an interesting look at, you know, existing technology, the evolution of technology, and sometimes, you know, the old ways are the best ways. We had her on the show at the notable point of her publishing a book about Poilin Bakery, and there's phenomenal recipes in there, but one of the recipes in the book is for a bread sandwich, literally. And it's two kinds of bread. You have the bread that you slice for the bread, and then there's a slice of a different bread inside that's like the filling of the sandwich, and it's a bread sandwich. And apparently it was a favorite recipe of her father's, a bread sandwich. So toast on toast on toast. Yeah, toast on toast on toast.
I want that right now.
Real quickly, while we still just have a few more minutes, one thing that I did want to touch on, Nina, is it sounds almost counterintuitive that a large, successful, established company would want to do a collaboration or is interested in innovations with a smaller group. You know, why wouldn't the big company just innovate on their own? That's an interesting component of the platform. And then, of course, it's most articulated after pitch when you move into the pilot program. But what's the rationale for a large, well-established company to be working with a startup?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of just comes down to one word, which is the nimbleness of startups. So if we look at a collaboration in our network that happened through our pilot program, and it's also in the upcycling space, we use this example a lot, but Griffith Fruit Foods, who's an ingredient company, they have a foundational mission to, you know, find more sustainable ingredients, to work into their supply chain. They ultimately ended up collaborating with and investing in Regrained, which is a company obviously Shannon is familiar with. But for those listening, they are an upcycled ingredient B2B company. They started out with a CPG company with a bar that's made from upcycled grain from the beer brewing process, and they use that as a functional ingredient. And so, you know, with Griffith, they weren't going to build out this whole technology for themselves. They're not a beer company. They weren't interested in building a completely new technology and supply chain for that. But they did see the value in experimenting with and doing some R&D with Regrained on new properties that they could get out of that that spent beer grain and apply it as an ingredient. So they have an ongoing partnership through the pilot program. Also, Regrained is an alumni of the Pitch program too, and just a good example of why that collaboration is needed. So it comes down to nimbleness and agility, and like we see the perfect alchemy of, you know, corporates with scale and with sort of the resources to do this experimentation, and startups coming to the table and saying, hey, we can implement X, Y, or Z in a couple of weeks, right? Like we had another upcycled company, Shameless Pets, and they did a collaboration with MLA, which is the Australia Meat and Livestock Association. The Meat and Livestock Association was looking to sort of test some consumer insights around the properties of their Australian beef. And within 2 or 3 weeks, they launched a new product with Shameless Pets. And that's just something that it can't happen at big corporations, right? We know that the average time is a number of years for corporates to launch new products. So that's why they're launching their own, you know, funds. That's why they're launching their own accelerators. That's why they participate in programs like Pilot, for example, because they can shrink that time down. And so they can work together with innovators, bring their resources to bear. But that nimbleness just simply exists on the startup side.
It's almost like using startup as an R&D lab.
Essentially. And from our perspective, we don't want it to be a one-sided, you know, we're looking for meaningful collaboration where there can be an ongoing partnership where it's valuable for the startup too. So we see ourselves as kind of the matchmakers, brokers of those relationships that are mutually beneficial.
Well, now the public will be able to experience some of that firsthand in Food Bites Pitch Virtual 2020. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I would say to both of you, Nina, definitely stay in touch and we can follow the progress this fall of the startups and the companies and what the global pitch is going to look like. It's on the one hand, I'm excited about this time for innovation because we're living in a period where we are doing so many things that we previously thought we would be unable to do. We are living in ways and styles and creating relationships and new ways of doing things that 6 months ago, any number of them, people would have said, oh, you can't do that. You can't work from home. You can't, you know, work out on your own. You can't bake bread. You can't have a garden on your windowsill. But so many things that we do today, we're doing it. So I wonder if this Food Bites edition will be even more exciting. If people will be more open to new ideas. If they'll be just next level of innovation and possibility. So it'll be a good one to keep track of and follow. For those listening along at home, if you're an entrepreneur and you have a startup and you want to apply, if you're just somebody who's interested in what's happening in the world at the next level, go to foodbitesworld.com, follow them on social media at foodbites by Rabobank. That's Bites, B-Y-T-E-S. Again, the deadline for startups to apply is August 10th, 2020. And the events will start mid-October through to early December, and keep eyes out for things that the public can participate in as well. If you're interested in Toast Ale, and quite frankly, who isn't? visit them, toastale.com, on social media, at Toast Ale. Circle September 29th on your calendar. It's United Nations Food Waste Awareness Day. They're going to launch their new collaboration with Bread Alone and Interborough Spirits and Ale, down the road from Heritage Radio in Bushwick. So all around, great things happening. I want to thank Nina Myers from Food Bites by Rabobank and Shannon Flanagan, U.S. Chief Toaster at Toast Ale, for joining me this morning. If you liked this show, come back and listen. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, give us a great review. If you really want to keep this show on the air and the other 35 live shows that Heritage Radio Network produces each week, because they're great stories, because you want to stay connected to the world, because our food heritage is important, go to heritageradionetwork.org, click the beating heart, and become a member. You can send us what you spent on ale and bread this week. We'd be happy to take it. We can make more radio. And if you designate your donation to Tech Bites, I will send you a gift along with my undying love. I'm Jennifer Liuzzi, and this is Tech Bites.
Tech Bites is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Just enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.